Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of American Criminal. In our latest season, the child of Italian immigrants sets out to achieve the American dream. And if he has to spill some blood along the way, so be it. Listen to American Criminal, Al Capone, wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get ad-free access to the entire season first, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Hi, Bilson. How are you doing today?
Hi, Mindy.
Look what we're wearing.
We are in our juicy jumpsuits.
Juicy.
Today, especially
I'm
for today.
I'm super excited about today because we know that not only was a cultural phenomenon in sociology terms, but also in fashion terms. So why don't you talk about what we're going to do today?
Well, who better to bring on to talk fashion, especially from the OC? We are joined today by the beautiful stylist and costumer from the OC, Nicole Chavez, named one of the top 10 stylists by Forbes, wife and mother of three boys. I'd like to just add that. Quite the accomplishment. And I have been close friends with Nicole, not only professionally, but personally for how many years now? Maybe 18?
Yeah. We're going on we're creeping into the 20s.
Did you guys meet on the show?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Let's start there.
Yeah.
Let's start how we all met and how your career started, because you've clearly had a huge success in this profession that you've chosen.
It's so crazy. I mean, I worked on the show for the whole first season. And obviously I met Rachel and Mindy, and I was, you know, the on-set costumer that was getting up in your business and
explain what that is. Like, what is the on-set costumer? Okay.
So on-set costumer is someone that is keeping track of the day-to-day wardrobe. So I'm sure you guys have gone over this, but we don't shoot in order. So a lot of times we do like a scene breakdown. And then we'll go and we'll say, okay, this outfit works, for example, works at the beach. And so whenever we shoot at the beach or that location, I have to remember that's like look one or whatever. So I was in charge of keeping track of all the wardrobe, making sure that you guys were in the right clothes on the right day for the right location. And I had my like little notepad and I had my Polaroid camera. And I was on set with you guys, making sure your costumes looked good and just making sure everybody was wearing what they were supposed to be wearing. That was my job.
Continuity.
Exactly.
Yeah, you were very good at it.
Oh my God, Scripty. Have you guys talked to her?
What? No. Not yet.
We haven't gotten that far.
Oh my gosh. I was like, I'm flooded with like so many memories of everybody from the show and all the people behind the scenes. So that's crazy. I just thought of her. She was one of my really good friends because we were always checking like, did Rachel have her bag in this scene? Did, you know, cause we would obviously shoot out of order. So
guys had a lot of responsibilities keeping everything, but I've never seen anyone more organized than Nicole.
Thank you.
Across the board. But yeah, she handles it.
Thank you.
I mean, such a pro. We were in the best hands for sure. I have some funny pictures too.
Oh my God. I bought some.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
This is actually from this episode.
This is from the episode we're going over today.
Don't think, you remember I was always taking Polaroids?
Yes, you were always taking Polaroids. Oh, that sailor top will never die.
There's you, that's you and I on a break.
That's hysterical.
Lounging
hair. Yeah, and I had my big set bag. Yeah, I have so many good ones.
That's so
you bring
awesome.
Up a good point. Clearly, and from my research, when in between scenes, you guys were going through magazines and sharing your passion for fashion. And obviously this turned into an incredible success for you and for you both. You've done collabs together. You've done, but I found, because I was reflecting on myself, I love fashion like the next person, but not like you guys. I had a daughter at home. It was, you know, red carpets and such. It always felt like so much more, and it was hard, and it was difficult to balance. Like I had a hard time just putting things on a hanger and getting them put away in my closet. As a mother of three and still doing this industry. How did, have you found it difficult to balance that?
I mean, yes, I have. But I think what goes back, what you said, I have such a passion for it and I love it so much that I can't even picture any other way of being without having that creative outlet. So for me, it drives me every day, especially like during this pandemic. I mean, obviously we weren't doing red carpets. I wasn't dressing for my clients for anything other than Zoom. So I was looking to myself to like get motivated and get creative with my own styling. And so I have to do it on a daily basis or I go like cuckoo.
Yeah. And anyone, you know, should follow Nicole on Instagram because all of her outfits are always pretty awesome and amazing and super fun to see the style in action, especially this past year. It's good inspiration.
Thank you.
But, you know, I want to bring up, Nicole, that, you know, we were on the show and you were a costumer, but because of your eye for fashion and your sense of style and everything else, you decided, you know, hey, you know what? I think I want to be a stylist. Like, I want to try this thing. You know, like you had this bigger vision, like this sort of was speaking to you and you came to me with it and you were like, you want to do this? Should we give it a try? And I was like, yeah. And we kind of like started together.
100%. I mean, I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for you and our relationship and having met you, because we did. We were the ones sitting on set looking through our Vogues and our Harper's Bazaar and we would rip out like all the same stuff. And it was just one of those things that like, it just seemed so natural and organic. I mean, you needed help for red carpets and I'm like, oh yeah, sure. I can help you. And then next thing we know, it was like season two. And I'm like, I really feel like I want to do my own. I want to try this like full time. And you're like, let's do it. Like we can do it. And then you introduced me to Kristen Bell, maybe like 6 months after that. Yeah. And she was on Veronica Mars at the time. Mm-hmm. And then it was just over. Off it was like all running. Of a sudden I had two like legit, you know, like people all of a sudden, I'm like, this is crazy. And then and Mindy and I worked together too.
She used to,
style you all the time. Oh my God, you have so many of your favorite outfits. I remember that blue lace with like the bow and your pencil skirts.
I remember that.
That was such a good outfit.
So good. What was the first thing we did together, Nicole? Do you remember like styling?
I think it was just one of those like after work parties.
Okay.
That you guys, because you guys remember you used to always get these like last minute, like Vogue, Hollywood stuff, like let's go to the chateau.
And they were always Sundays through Thursdays. They're never Friday and Saturday night in Hollywood. So
never,
for me, it was always like my daughter, you'd come over with a rack of clothes and we'd have to do a fitting and my daughter, and then you have to do hair and makeup and it could be an four hour process. And she's three going, where are you going, Mom? I'm like, back to work. I was thinking right before we did this, I was just thinking about the process that, you know, our listeners might not know about, like on the show, for instance, every week we have to do a wardrobe fitting and every character, every actor has to do this. And I prefer, because I lived in Sherman Oaks and the show was in Manhattan Beach. I said, guys, set up 3 or 4 hours, whatever it takes. I'll try on anything you've got. So I get it done and I don't have to do it. I would end up having 4 to maybe even more episodes set. So I didn't have to do it every week. Whereas the boys probably wanted to come in and out in 20 minutes when they were there. Mm-hmm. I don't think any show really sets out to be this groundbreaking, you know, what the OC was, music-wise, fashion-wise, culturally. What is your take on the fact that obviously the design, Misha had connections to, say, Chanel, or you guys had connections and things were, I mean, I read at one point, I remember that there were Chanel bags and these purses. And I read somewhere that they were trying to say, or that they were fake. And I'm like, that's not what I remember. I remember we got the real deal. And then at one point Fox, when the show got so popular, Fox didn't allow a lot of the products. They wanted the products to pay. It's called product placement. Mm-hmm. But do you remember that?
I do remember that. Because I even remember, I don't know if you remember this, Rachel, but I remember going through a magazine and ripping out one of the Chanel dresses. You remember the one that Misha wore for Christmas?
Is the white strapless?
It was the sequin top and it has kind of like a knot.
When she drinks?
The little like, and it's like a little short dress. It was a Chanel dress. And I remember ripping it out of the magazine and taking it to her and saying, you should try to pull this dress because this dress would be super cute.
Oh, Misha. Wow.
And we ended up getting it. and she wore it in the Christmas episode.
Oh my gosh. I have to look it up. I'm sure.
Yes. It's super cute.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a woven like linen dress. But yes, I think at that time it was just the beginning of these kind of, not, I don't want to say partnerships, but I feel like brands were looking for new ways to build mm-hmm. their business. Mm-hmm. And like the OC was such an amazing show because it was all of the youth. It was all the kids and then all the parents' story. It was like two storylines. So it kind of, you know, went across all, you know, genre. They were able to kind of touch on everybody. And I think that having you guys like Misha carry the bag was, you know, one of those things that kind of changed how costuming happened. I mean, that happened a lot with Sex and the City, but that's right. The only other show I can think of that was sort of like on the cutting edge of fashion that way.
Yeah.
Until we got to Gossip Girl, which is, you know, later. But yeah, it was like in the moment styling. Like it was really sort of, which is usually not what happens. We usually just shop in the stores. And when you're shopping in the stores, you're already behind the seasons. Mm-hmm. When we do red carpet, I'm ahead. So I'm usually 6 months ahead for red carpet, but we were almost using pieces from the collections right away. And then they were out and on the show before anybody ever got them or they were in stores.
You bring up Sex and the City and I read that they had nothing. They had a shoestring budget. So they literally were just pulling stuff and doing things with just very basic stuff, but already creating their style. And I think a great conversation that we can have here is how much of our personal styles, because I'm watching, you know, the fashion change. Misha clearly had that kind of runway style, and Anna and Summer, everybody had their own thing. How much did you, Rachel, have a say? And I mean, I have my own experience and I'm curious if you had your...
I think at that time, well, first of all, I mean, 2003 fashion was like such a different time, and I want your take on that era, Nicole, but to answer you, Mindy, I think I just kind of like put things on and was like, okay, I feel like, right, Nicole? Right.
You were easy. I would say everyone just seemed so excited, at least season one. I was only really there for season one, and at that time it was like magic. I mean, we all knew that there was something happening that was really magical, and I think everyone was just really excited to be there and excited about the show. And it just felt new and exciting. So I don't remember getting any pushback. Mm-hmm.
Well,
people.
I mean, I should say that the designer was Alexander Welker.
Mm-hmm.
Very well-respected designer. Mm-hmm. For myself, it was interesting. It was definitely a little bit of a journey for me because I grew up in Orange County. And when you see two women walking down the beach, they look like sisters, but sometimes it's the mother and teenage daughter.
Yeah.
Like the mother wants to dress like the teenager. And there were just a few times that I personally, I hopefully was nice about it. Depends on your definition of difficult, not necessarily difficult, but having a voice where,
there's a big difference.
I remember being put in a red St. John thing and I just felt too much older, but now I realize they were really trying to make Julie a little bit older. And as the show went on, you can see that my clothes got a little more youthful, jeans and cute tops. And, you know, I wasn't always comfortable in the Cavalli.
I think our clothes definitely like had an arc, just like our characters, you know what I mean? Like definitely evolved and changed along with our characters and personality and what we were going through.
And I was definitely in the juicy all the time. We had an episode that I think I had at least three juicy outfits in the beginning, just in one episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did wear a lot of juicy, but you had the butt. You have the butt for it, Mindy.
It's a good thing. I know when you're like,
to pull off a juicy tracksuit.
I just read this, that according to Vogue, this was an article written just recently, that juicy and Von Dutch are even batched.
Von Dutch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That I have not heard. Have you heard that, Nicole?
Summer's Poochie dress is now.
Well, Poochie, I mean, can we talk about that?
Or the style.
No, but you mean from the runway?
The fashion runway show.
Oh my God. Did you see that thing that I sent you on Instagram when that guy that...
The penguin walk?
It was like you coming out of, the quote was like me coming out of quarantine and it was you on the runway.
Yeah.
I think Danny Pellegrino, didn't he?
Yes.
I reposted it. It was hilarious. It was so funny. It was so good. Funny. But just like a quick, like, you know, just you talking about 2003 fashion and we're talking about some of it coming back. Like, what do you see kind of coming full circle?
Well, first of all, it's 100% coming back. There is a trend right now, like a youth trend. It's called Y2K. So everything that's like the new trend. So everything is going to be what you're seeing now. All those little bags, all the low, I mean, those low pants. Misha's pants were so, and her skirts.
25 years ago, Carrie Bradshaw started posing a slew of honest, provocative, relatable questions to the modern woman in her fictional column, Sex and the City. And just like her, the singles and hopeless romantics of New York still want to know, can you change a man? What constitutes cheating? And can you be friends with your ex? I'm Tara Llewellyn. You may know me from Gilmore to Say, a Gilmore Girls podcast. And after 10 years of navigating dating, friendships, career shifts, heartbreak, and of course, love in New York as Carrie did, I couldn't help but wonder, how relevant is Carrie's column 25 years later? Join me as I revisit this beloved series with some of my favorite New Yorkers and closest friends as we commiserate on first dates, one-night stands, love lost, friendship breakups, and everything in between. To bring Carrie's column to life and answer her questions from each episode of Sex and the City through a modern lens in my new weekly podcast, And Just Like Her.
Her waistline, I mean, she's got a very long torso. And so it was like, whoa. But yes, those pants, those very low.
I mean, tracksuits are back. What's the one that we have that are the velour ones, but they're kind of like the new
Susie Condi?
Yes, like the new.
Obsessed.
Yes, the new and improved, like, version of the Juicy, although Juicy is back as well. And
at Fred Siegel. There's an electric blue one that I just am in love with.
Yes. the tube top, all that. The layering.
With a t-shirt underneath?
Yes, the layering. Oh my God.
No, yeah, there's a lot of good moments in the episode we're going to go over.
I know. I can't
with
wait.
With all of this, like, fabulous 2003 fashion.
See, I wish I still had, because we had them in notebooks. Uh-huh. And we would have like your look and then we'd have like which scenes it was like, we'd have to break down the script every episode and know like what day we're shooting what and everything. So we had all, you guys were all in binders and I would take Polaroids and I would take close-ups of your jewelry. I don't know if you remember that. And I would take close-ups. Mm-hmm. Like once we took the first shot, I would take a picture of like how it was buttoned up. Like where your jewelry was, if you had a purse, if you didn't, so that we could recreate it when we had to.
Do you have a favorite outfit from when you were on the show dressing it?
I mean, I do love that Chanel dress because that was super cool.
Yeah, I guess you said that. Yeah.
Chris Mika. But as Wonder Woman, that's also Chris Mika. But the links, like, it's funny because I was excited to do this episode. I have the most amount of Polaroids from this episode.
So obviously Nicole's here to talk about episode 16 with us called The Links. I love that you watched the whole season to prep for this, Nicole.
100%. You know me.
Really?
Come on. Do you know me or what?
I know. Of course.
I have not watched the show since it aired, probably. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably not. I don't know why I lived it and watched it in real time. Because remember, we used to watch the episodes on lunch.
They would screen it for us.
Us at lunch. So we used to watch it then. And I used to cry all the time. And Ben would be like, why are you crying? Like, what is your problem? Why are you always crying? I'm like, because it's just such a good show. It's so amazing. I was always just so proud of the work. I used to love watching it lunch. But so rewatching it was a trip. I mean, it brought back so many memories of just like places we were, like random stuff. Like there's a part in this episode when Tate and Peter are on, they're like at some restaurant on a pier or something. Mm-hmm. And I remember I'm like, oh, that was in Torrance and it was next to a Claim Jumper and I ate the best like popover or something. Like random stuff like that comes to my brain. Like, oh, you know, like that was, you just remember all the locations. Yeah. And
it brings back it's like another
so
lifetime,
so many
right?
good memories.
And just so many memories, everything that was going on then. You even met your husband like through the show. I mean, so many.
At the rap party.
The first, was it the rap party of season one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, this is a good little trivia for your husband's name is
Volchok. Mm. He's the real Volchok.
That's right. In the flesh.
Look at, also, look at what I just found. This was in this is in his
is that a skateboard?
This is the they used to pass it. Yes, they pass these out in the summer before it aired.
That's a story.
Oh my God.
Kevin has it in his desk. It's like our office key or whatever.
That's so cute. Can you describe it for us, what we're looking at?
Yeah, sorry. It's a little plastic skateboard, and it says the OC, and it's bright orange. It says Fox, Tuesdays this summer.
It was
the promotional thing. Kevin, by the way, was like, don't lose that. I was like, I'm not going to lose it. I'm going into the guest room.
And that's how Kevin is Adam's
Adam Brody's agent.
Still Adam, yeah.
Still to this day, huh? Yeah. Yep. And that's how that came together. So many things came out of this show. I mean,
so many great things.
Pretty crazy. Let's get into this episode because there's so much to cover, I feel like. And watching it, I was just like, well, anyway, I'll get there. The synopsis for this episode is Oliver invites the entire crew to his parents' house in Palm Springs. Marissa is still buying into Oliver's stories, but Ryan isn't so convinced. Summer is determined to make this trip as unromantic as possible for Anna and Seth.
Sabotage.
Yes, you did a good job.
I mean, yes. I really did. I was pretty impressed with myself.
You were getting into your groove here. I feel like they started really writing your character, and it's just, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Lots of notes about this one.
Yeah, the episode opens, and the one thing I actually wrote down and took a note of is the vintage Levi jean skirt Marissa's wearing when she opens the door to Oliver. And I was like, well, that's back.
100%.
You know? And it was so cute. But yes, Oliver, played by Taylor Handley, which, I don't like to talk about Oliver.
He was dressed kind of frumpy. Was that cool? The velvet jacket over polo shirt. He looked like he was swimming in it, but.
I think his vibe, and again, this is just me kind of riffing off of what it was, my memories, but I feel like he was supposed to be like this preppy bad boy. Mm-hmm. So he always had like an element of prep, like with the polo or the blazer, but then it was disheveled because he obviously has mental issues. So I think it was that her way of describing the character, like you seeing the character, but not really knowing, like, so the disheveledness was like the unraveling of him a little bit without telling too much of the story.
Right. Because the clothes are telling stories too.
Absolutely.
Definitely do.
Absolutely.
But yeah, in the opening scene, you know, he brings up the Palm Springs thing and inviting them. But the thing that I take away from this scene is like when Marissa walks away, he hides the picture of Marissa and Ryan behind another picture Oliver does. And you're just like, oh my God, this guy is so creepy. And like, there's definitely something wrong. There's something wrong here.
Well, I think it was this because the audience is in on what's going on.
Right.
They could have played it without us knowing, but we know that something's going on.
Right.
And ultimately the reaction was pretty frustrating when it came to Oliver. But I think he did such a great job because we hated him so much too.
Oh yeah. He was very easy to hate. That, which means that Taylor, the actor, was doing a really good job. And, you know, then we move into the episode and you know, they're going to go on this golf trip. Ryan's really insecure about it. Sandy's giving him a lesson. And the other note I wrote down here was, there is that fucking leather wristband again on Ryan. I'm like, why? And I talked about this before, Nicole, in an episode a long time ago. This leather wristband that will not die.
You know, I was writing down the different designers that we have, but I had to write Ryan is in Hanes and Levi's, but boy, did his ass look good in those Levi's. Oh. I remember specifically.
Ben had a really, really nice body. He took care of himself. Yes.
We're walking down the hallway to set once and, you know, I'm like,
I never noticed. How come I never noticed
and I was
these
like,
things?
I went to-
Because you were
to
with Alex. Adam.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I remember going to the costume department and said, what jeans are those? I'd like to buy them.
Oh, after Ben wore them, I want my ass to look that good. That's fantastic.
I do think there's a really cute moment here that, you know, Adam Brody always brings so much flavor to the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
And when he's like, I don't want to play golf. I don't play golf. And he does a little, what exactly do you do besides musicals and punching people? He just delivered it with just so much what
Adam's
irony.
Choices. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
Do you guys want to talk about I just always tripped out on the backyard, how there was a giant swimming pool and pool house.
on the soundstage? Yes, we've talked about it. We've talked about the pool only being 2 feet deep.
Yeah, and wasn't it cold?
I feel like it was.
I feel like Adam and Ryan were always in it, but you guys never really went in it.
I don't think
Only for the cat fight. But I do remember that there were, whenever we had some fan, well, we should bring this up. The first season, anybody could be a guest on the set. At some point, they had to kind of put by the end, there was a little bit more of a process to become a guest on the set. But fans would come in and literally go, whoa, my gosh. Once in a while, I can see that ocean and, you know, the waves were little tiny silver pieces of paper. And in this particular scene, I saw it. Like, it was a little too close. Yeah. You can see that mm-hmm. it was a backdrop. It wasn't the ocean. But otherwise, it's pretty stunning set.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're off in Europe in this episode, Mindy, with Caleb.
Mindy, you get a haircut.
Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah,
we can.
Get a new do. That was the beginning of your new, like, look.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, if you want to talk about that scene. So I had kind of those tiger stripes, and Daniel Cure, I'm not sure exactly how he says it. He had this great idea. He showed me a picture of Rene Russo with this new cool bob. And I said, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, let's do it. And I remember it was a whole process. And it's the first time I had bright red hair and extensions put on. And extensions are essentially, it's a form of glue. Sorry to say. And it took forever, and then my hair was so bright red that when I finally came back to set, our DP, Jamie Barber, literally was like, holy shit, that's red hair. I've got to change the lighting for everything. And that's why I love this line when Julie and Caleb show up from France. Haley says, Julie, your hair. Yeah. And I say, Haley, your hair. And I think there was kind of, I loved it. It was fun. It was a great choice. I don't know if I'd do that again, but
It looked great. Yeah, but that was my favorite line too from that scene. Mm-hmm. I loved it. And that really became signature, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. But the interesting thing was, all of you ladies out there who've had extensions, it's like taking care of a Ferrari, not a Volkswagen. You know, you need to like buff it and wax it and take care of it. And it's expensive. So, all of us ended up getting extensions, and the show was paying for it. Kelly and Misha. You didn't. And then at some point, I mean, I'm just throwing out a ballpark, but it's like $5,000 a year for the show to be paying for it. And at one point the show finally went, yeah, we're not paying for it anymore. So I said, okay. And I took them out, and then it was, anyway.
I think the scene in the show where Summer and Marissa are getting ready for Palm Springs. First of all, the outfits.
Yes.
On both of us, this is like the summer sailor top, which Nicole showed a Polaroid of me in it from this episode. But that top is just everything wrong with the time.
Everything was very color coordinated. Misha's top was really cute too.
Yeah. Yes. Oh yeah. And her top, it had like one of those like belt kind of hooks on the collar, you know, that you like tighten
off shoulder.
The off shoulder. Our outfits were definitely on point. And you know, Summer is really plotting her sabotage, which was pretty funny.
Your performance in that scene, that awesome. That to me, it was just, again, it just shows me, it reminds me of you, Rachel.
Really? Like, you know what's so funny? As I keep watching these episodes, I keep seeing my daughter, which is so weird. Not that she's like plotting to like ruin some, you know, geek in school or something, but it was just like, I keep seeing her face, and I've never seen it before, but watching the OC, because people sometimes say that, I'm like, oh my God. But anyway.
People say that about CG myself as well.
You and CG can see for that. Sure. 1,000%.
Yeah. Or she, because she takes after mom, and I'm kind of an animated person from time to time.
But as you know, we're all kind of gearing up for this Palm Springs trip, and it's a couple's trip. And then it's Summer and Luke, who are just like the outsiders, you know, which is going to play out and be pretty funny. But, and I know I skipped over the Sandy. Well, we can go back to that. But, I walked into the pool house, and like Ryan and Marissa are kissing, and I'm just like, oh, this is fucking great. And it's setting up how it's going to go. And then I'm like, where's Seth? And they're like, he's in his room. And of course, he's there with Anna, which Summer is really cute.
I thought it was really cute, this this thing that they picked up on, because and they'll use it later when they're, I guess this the geriatric part of me, the old that Seth is,
he's like the 7-year-old
just love
inside.
Each other in that
it's
way.
Really cute. And him and Anna were really cute. Like their whole banter was cute. Anna, very colorful dresser. Nicole, I think.
Very much.
Quirky, kind of punky East Coast version. Or was that her? I mean, was that, I always am curious how much that had.
Was it Samira?
Saul was really such a free spirit. Mm-hmm. And she loved color. I think Alex did such a good job of like blending your personalities, but also developing your characters. Like it was a nice balance.
Samira Armstrong, we're talking about.
I called her Saul. Yeah, Saul. But yes, no, I love her outfits were always so fun and layered and colorful and big ear, like fun earrings. And
yeah, she was very accessorized.
The pink blush. Well, that's the other thing about
that. That's so Joni. Joni taught me how to do that same sob cheek. I remember.
Joni Powell on
was
today.
Our makeup department head on the show. Yeah. She was head of makeup. And that's who. Joni.
Sam used to wear a lot of vintage tees. That was sort of like his
signature.
How
did that work? Because that's kind of hard because you're supposed to have like duplicates of things, right?
Yeah. Yes. But we would find them in ways where there wouldn't, when he wouldn't have to have a duplicate or he could zip it up or something like that. And she was also really good at finding like funny sayings. Like, I think it says like, what did it say on it?
Why work?
On his shirt. Yeah, why work? Exactly. Why work? So like it ties into the geriatric thing and his whole thing of leisure. she was really good at that stuff.
I also read that in an article recently that Vogue said that Seth is a blueprint of Celine now.
What?
On Valentine's Day 1929, a group of gangsters was massacred in a cold Chicago garage. The crime shook the country, and even though investigators had only just started looking for answers, everyone was sure they already knew who was behind the crime. Al Capone. Hi, I'm Jeremy Schwartz, host of the new true crime history podcast, American Criminal. We take you inside the minds of some of our most notorious felons and outlaws, exploring the dark side to the American dream. In our latest season, a child of Italian immigrants sets out to make good on the promises of that dream. But Al Capone's path to success doesn't take him down the straight and narrow. Instead, he transforms himself from a smarter-than-your-average thug into the most infamous criminal America has ever known. Listen to American Criminal Al Capone wherever you get your podcasts. Or to get early ad-free access to the entire season first, plus hundreds of other ad-free history podcast episodes, subscribe at IntoHistory.com.
Men's Celine.
Really? Nicole, we're both like, Yeah.
I kind of see that though, because his stuff was always a little bit
layered. Yeah.
Yeah. And a little bit like, yes, I could see that.
Cropped. I'm just picturing like a crop top on Adam.
But no, like, you remember he used to wear those like kind of like bomber jackets, but they were like a little bit, like things were always a little bit snug on him. Like, does that make sense? But he was also very tall and lean. Mm-hmm. So like he definitely could like pull off that look.
Yeah, for sure.
But it just feels like everybody, you mean it especially for the guys, like, it almost feels that is very now. All of the graphic tees or wearing a collared shirt under a tee, or I'm talking like I'm an expert just because, but I'm not. No,
you are.
I did some research this week.
Adam used to do like layer tees. He used to wear like two t-shirts.
Oh, I think, is it in this episode where he has like a button up under a t-shirt?
Under the 76 t-shirt.
Yeah.
Was that this episode?
She used to do that a lot with him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of fun layering.
That was a great coordinated scene when they're leaving for Palm Springs. Mm-hmm. I loved Anna's rainbow tracksuit jacket. Seth is in Adidas. And but it was all blues and oranges and reds. And it was just like, this is really coordinated.
Right.
But also we were looking at the fashion because we're doing this podcast on this episode.
So we're going to Palm Springs and we're all loading up and everything. And of course, you know, Summer rides with Anna and Seth and is like, shotgun. And she takes shotgun, which I like. And then of course, Oliver, the little manipulative shit that he is, gets Marissa to ride with him. And then Ryan and Luke and all of their beers are in the truck.
Right.
poor
little.
I don't remember so much teenage drinking, but I guess there was.
Yeah, I mean, they have a full cooler full of beer or, and things.
When I tell one Orange County story every podcast we do. I remember being in my friend's white Jeep with a case of California coolers in Newport Beach, getting pulled over by the cops, maybe in like 86. And those are the days where they just said, pour it out, move along.
Right.
So, yeah.
Move along. So when the gang arrives to Palm Springs, you know, Marissa and Oliver are close on the couch. And Ryan and Luke show up, and then the three of us show up, Anna, Seth, and myself. But
Ryan's so furious.
Over it at this point. I mean, I was too. I'm watching this and I'm just like, this mother, you know?
Well, wait, do you think, because Seth was kind of a blue, he kept saying, what's wrong with Oliver? He's so cool.
Yeah, he's totally just ignorant and naive to it all, I feel like. He's also a little focused on his situation, I think.
Yeah.
But, you know, Oliver's showing them their rooms and he purposely gives Ryan and Marissa the two twin beds and just like everything, you know, it's just adding up. But what I love is Misha, you know, Marissa is in there in her cute outfit. She's like, I'm going to go change. And she changes into like the ultimate golf.
The cutest.
Outfit.
So cute.
So cute. Do you remember this while you were watching it? But I just thought she looks so cute in her golf outfit. Cute. But yeah, the tension is rising for sure with Ryan and Oliver at this point. And he's like saying that Marissa like told him, or wait, is that later? Well, that he's telling him that Marissa told Oliver his life story and.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he's clearly instigating and, you know, just getting in his craw. And it's, I mean, I think he's barely maintaining.
Oh, yeah.
And it's totally justified. Haley and Caleb are sitting outside and then Julie and Kirsten. I actually had a moment where I was like, that's a really pretty picture of Julie and Kirsten sitting out there. And and I was like, but what am I wearing? It was some kind of patterned top dress. I don't remember what it was. And I remember thinking there were probably, I mean, if Mindy had her choice, I wouldn't be wearing some of these things. So I was introduced to a lot of things that I just would never have worn. But at one point I was like, I'm just going to wear what they think Julie could wear, because it was louder and because I'm probably more bohemian and hippie at heart.
Right.
But Julie was definitely more about the labels and such, but I just didn't understand. I was like, I have no idea what that is that I'm wearing, because a lot of times the camera, you know, there, we might have a wide shot, but then we get, you know, chest up or what they call cowboy if you're lucky, which is, you know, your belt up. So we don't really see the whole outfit.
And you also had just flown from Paris in that outfit.
Right.
You were very dressed up.
Very. Of course.
From Paris. But I think she's trying to sell that you guys are, you know, super affluent and fancy and you're in first class and, you know.
And again, it really shows in the clothes, you know, the other
character. You have all your jewelry on, all your layered necklaces.
Yeah. I really want to get to the golf course because all of the outfits happening here on the golf course.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we need to cover.
For the video. Okay.
So
people,
everyone who's listening, Mindy is now stripping for us.
I found what's totally in now.
Yeah, what is it, Mindy?
An Argyle sweater.
It's not just a sweater, it's a vest, sweater vest.
Well, sorry, it's an Argyle sweater vest that I found at a vintage store near my home. Isn't that
Which
cute?
Is awesome.
Really
it's
cute.
It's my husband's, though.
It's so cute. Which is an ode to Anna's outfit on the golf course. Mm-hmm. She is full on Argyle, right, Nicole? Sweater vest, golf pants. She has the hat, I think, right? Doesn't she have like
a... Yeah, she's wearing a really cute hat.
Super adorable. But so it doesn't feel old. It feels really chic.
Yes. But well, when you say old, then you look at Seth and he is Grandpa Golfer of the Year. Which is so fitting and awesome. And Summer in my matching
coordinated
plaid, white pants and my headscarf. You know, I'm watching this and I'm watching us on the golf course. And I remember like we're teeing up or whatever you call it. You had to like hit the golf ball. And
how was that for you?
I remember. Oh, you remember, Mindy?
Oh, yes. It's part of the blooper reel.
I know. I was going to say. So it took me... I am not even exaggerating 100 times to actually hit the ball off the tee. I could not hit that golf ball for the life of me. And yes, it wound up on the blooper reel at the end of the season. How many, we were sitting there for like 15 minutes just watching me swing at this golf ball and not be able to.
I think we like ran out of light that night. Because if you look at the scene, it's pretty like, it's like getting like a little dusk, like, you know, it's like, the sun is going down.
I could not do it. I don't know. Oh my God. But I also like that scene because I make Seth go get my ball and he actually goes and Anna's like, well, you just lost yours, you know? I was like, oh.
Super funny.
Yes. And then all the chaos ensues with Oliver on the golf course. I mean, so Oliver and Marissa are in a, by the way, the fact that like Marissa's always with Oliver and Ryan's annoyed, but he's not like stopping it or like saying anything, and like Marissa just keeps going off with Oliver, and I'm like, what in real life? Like, I'm just looking at it like,
is it the fact that Ryan he's kind of walking on eggshells, you know, because in Tijuana she almost killed herself and she's got some issues and he is the savior and his mom had issues,
right?
And
that's fair, that's a fair here, point,
and here he's, you know, she's found a kindred spirit in her, you know, they've got similar problems, and he's trying not, you know, you try not to be jealous or insecure, but what's interesting is ultimately Oliver is the ultimate gaslighter. We didn't have term back then.
No.
Where he's turning it around and he makes Ryan feel like he's the crazy one,
right?
Or he's making it up, but it's really being manipulated by Oliver.
Master manipulator.
Which is very, very effective to make you feel like Ryan's probably like,
yeah. You know, what's also interesting in this episode is the music is so much more like harder and like gritty, like, you know what I mean? Like angry sounding and rock music, because it's paralleled with Oliver.
I love how Luke and Ryan though, because of what happened to him, and now he's got their buddies and they've got each other's backs. And then all of a sudden they go on this golf, you know, race, and it's aggressive, and Ryan finally stands up and goes, what the hell, man?
Well, you know, when they're in this montage with the golf carts and then basically it looks like they're playing chicken, it's almost like a zoom in on Oliver's face, like a cartoon, like his face is like turning red. It's so evil. You know, it's either like going towards each other, but it is really nice at the end when Ryan and Luke are both like, Luke's like, dude, he wasn't playing around, you know, like they recognize it and they kind of team up, and that's a nice moment with Ryan and Luke as well.
Yeah. And Taylor, he was like, what, man? I thought we were joking.
Yeah.
Instantly like make somebody, he's gaslighting again. But in my research, you guys, I found that they actually made a video game of this.
What?
And it's a race between two golf carts between Ryan and Oliver. And it was like a weird little, almost like Atari looking thing. Anyway, for you there.
That's really funny.
Didn't go anywhere.
So, you know, the kids are back at the house later, and maybe my favorite outfit from this episode that I just think is cute now and relevant is when Anna and Seth are in bed and she has her white t-shirt. Oh, what do you have, Nicole? Nicole has the Polaroid of the white t-shirt with the pink satin lingerie over the top.
So
Nicole's showing us the picture. It's so cute. Like, it came on the screen. I was like, oh, I want to wear that like right now.
You wear it now.
Right. Yeah.
It's totally in fashion right now.
Perfect example of it. Mm-hmm. But I also love, you know, them in bed and they're messing with each other. And of course, Summer comes in, and the whole thing with them in that room is really funny. And how they're bantering, how Anna and Seth are bantering back and forth. And they're talking about like all the references too, like Cabbage Patch Kids and Smurfs and whatever. And then at the end, Summer's just like, well, you guys are, you know, you're banter. You sound like brother and sister. And she like,
oh my gosh, total sabotage.
Yeah. Horrified. And I'm like, way to go, Summer. I'm totally rooting for Summer as I'm watching this. I'm like, that's right. Like,
it's so
and
cute.
By the way, and Seth, again, in his grandpa attire, I noted, I wrote in my notes while I was watching, I'm like, what teenagers, and for Seth, okay, he's like a grandpa, but Marissa also later, they're both wearing robes. What teenager goes to a weekend in Palm Springs
and packs a robe?
Right. So I'm going to throw my robes in. Like, really, I was just like, okay. That's a detail that was funny. But Seth and his grandpa clothing was really, really
and his
awesome.
Humidifier.
His humidifier. Yeah.
It's so funny.
Wait, what did someone think that was? Someone was like, is that a... And he's like, no, it's my humidifier. I get allergies. You know, it's like, anyway.
I know. It was something else. It wasn't like a bread maker. It was a Something.
I don't know. It was something. No. It was something.
In the meantime, we should mention that Sandy and Jimmy get drunk at the lighthouse and
the lighthouse is closing, right? It's like an iconic.
Iconic. Yes. That John Wayne used to be there.
And, right. And they have an idea. What is their idea?
To buy the restaurant.
Yeah. Right. Reboot it.
Right.
Reboot it.
It's just, you know.
Okay. Make it a family friendly place.
Oh.
Martinis and meatloaf.
Martinis and meatloaf. Okay. Let's see.
Then we're back into Oliver world with Marissa worried because Oliver left.
Right. And he's been gone. He's been gone for hours.
And he drives back to Newport, takes a bunch of pills, but he asks her to come back.
Right. He asks
her to come. And Marissa and Ryan.
They drive back. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they drive back.
He's really onto something here. Again, I know I'm jumping a little ahead, but they get there. And what is Oliver in? A robe and slippers. I mean, the robe theme throughout this whole episode is pretty on
That's
point.
Very Hugh Hefner in that moment. Yeah.
But, you know, he's such a little shit, Oliver. You know, he says this and then there's like the thing where he's, you know, the song's playing and he's pouring out all
Tom
the pills.
Jones.
Yeah, it's like not unusual, right? Is that what's
playing? Isn't he drinking like whiskey or something? Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, he's like drinking and he's got all these pill bottles.
It's kind of like a super warped Ferris Bueller. You know, right? Da-da. He's having fun and
right, like manipulating Bueller montage.
his day off. But that's great editing and story choice in the way that the show's put together. I love that.
You see in the Palm Springs kitchen between Ryan and Oliver before Oliver leaves, right. Where he freaks out and he's like hitting himself so hard, and you're like, dude,
that's scary.
Yeah, this guy got to go. Like he needs help.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm.
Which almost was probably real, though. I don't think there's sometimes you're like, he's clearly acting, he's clearly manipulating, but he probably doesn't know. He probably acts like that. I don't know what's real and what's not in his head is we'll never know.
Okay. Anyway, so yes, Marissa and Ryan, they check on Oliver and he's, you know, Ryan's totally onto this guy and Marissa's like, won't leave. She wants to make sure that he's okay. And Ryan leaves and you're just like, oh, it's unfolding and it's just so unsettling and uncomforting. But so that happens. And then the rest of the gang arrives home from Palm Springs. I love how Summer alerts that they have arrived by honking the horn as loud as possible to wake up Anna and Seth, who are cuddled up in the back seat. But the funniest thing is between Luke and Summer at the end of this. And he's like, you're looking really hot now, Summer, you know? And they have like a moment. It's like a stare off. Like, is it going to happen? Whatever. It's like all of it. Summer's like, oh my God, ew. Like, no, no way.
But you're so cute. You take the compliment. You're like, oh, yeah, thanks. And then this little, you know, pause and oh my God, ew.
Yeah.
No way.
But the funniest
delivery
thing,
was so good.
Oh, thanks. The funniest thing, I'm watching this and I don't know. I couldn't remember if we wind up hooking up or not. And I'm watching it and I'm like, are Summer and Luke about to hook up? Like, I had no recollection of it or whatever. So I was literally watching it like anyone else, just watching the show. But yeah, I thought that was a really funny moment. But yeah, that kind of like sums up the episode. The fashion choices, I don't know if there's anything else, Nicole, that we missed that you wanted to point out. The golf, you know, sequence, I think, was particularly special. Yeah. But
that was really cool.
We do have some quiz questions for you if you're ready for them.
Yeah. Throw them at me.
Where is Jimmy thinking he's going to move away from Newport to?
Arizona.
Yeah, that works. Scottsdale. Do you know specifically this?
Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm. Say another
Phoenix?
One.
Phoenix?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh.
You got
Omega
it.
Knows AZ. Okay.
You ask the next one, Mindy.
Where is Oliver's Palm Spring house actually located?
Pasadena.
Yes.
There's one last trivia for you here. What did Sandy always want to be? Did they talk about this in this episode? They must have.
I think when they were drinking, growing up, what did he want to be?
Mm. Is it something to do with the restaurant?
Jimmy wanted to be a pilot because he liked the stewardesses. Uh-huh. Sandy wanted to be...
like the flight attendants, Melinda.
Oh, sorry, the flight attendant. But that's, I was quoting him.
I don't remember that.
I don't either.
I don't either.
I don't remember that.
Left field. I do remember. Was the answer.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. You do remember what?
I do remember his ombre sunglasses, though.
Really?
Can you explain what ombre is for people
who might... like the fade, the faded, faded glass.
Yes, it fades. So it was like color fades. Yeah. Awesome.
I have one more question for you. If the show was happening today in 2021, what would you dress Summer and Julie in for a night of quarantine or a podcast?
You mean you guys right now?
Yeah.
Or is your character, what would I dress you guys in for a podcast?
Summer
and Julie.
Okay. I feel like Summer would be wearing bubblegum pink. Because that's like the color, that's the color right now. Everyone's wearing bubblegum pink.
Okay.
Everyone's coming out of quarantine, so they want to wear color. And then I feel like Julie might also be wanting to be on trend. And
she was very trendy.
Yes, she was very trendy. And so she might also be wearing a bold color. I remember, you used to wear a lot, I feel like puff sleeves and rough.
Oh my gosh. So yes, Nanette Lepore.
Yes.
Or, you know, there was one thing that I thought was kind of weird was that big furred collar, that
suit?
Sweater.
Oh,
it was
yes.
A sweater okay. When I was doing designing or something, but I think it might be a juicy tracksuit in the bright pink, right?
It could be a Susie Condi. You guys could be rocking your terry cloth.
Not the Kim Kardashian one.
And an updated version. High waist.
High waist.
Oh, that is true because I wore one juicy outfit that was literally like on my hips. It was black and the belly button showing and yeah, these are a little higher waisted, I've noticed.
Yeah. Might be a little higher waisted now.
Yeah.
I like it. I'm down for the bubblegum for summer.
Yes. You wore that color a lot.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it was so colorful. That whole time was very colorful.
You are.
That's a great way to describe the characters.
Colorful.
I think everybody was quite colorful.
Yes.
Well, Kirsten wasn't. Really?
She was
pretty muted
classic.
And a lot of like light, like neutral tones. Mm-hmm. She was always kind of very understated, but very elegant.
She was Ralph Lauren, Michael Kors, Jill Sander, Philip Lim, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Those were.
Yeah Ralph Lauren's probably. Very.
And Misha,
together.
I mean, Misha wore color, but not like you did, Summer. Like Misha to me was the most.
Runway.
Yeah, like kind of buttoned. Like you,
she was like more prep, like more conservative.
Polished. It was very it was polished, conservative. It was very little hints of preppy in there.
Mm-hmm.
But easy, it was always more like a very coordinated, put together look. Like it was very done.
I have this one. I have this one continuity photo, Nicole, that you made into a birthday card for me. I have the biggest scarf I've ever seen in my life. It's like it's orange, brown, and cream. And I have it around my neck and it like hangs down to the floor and I have a bright orange shirt and these pants. I mean, I did find it recently. I should have it now, but, and you made it into a birthday card because you and I were dying over this scarf. We were just like, what?
What? And it was your outfit that you wore had to
it
wear?
It was my outfit in the scene. Yes. Oh, it was basically the scarf was in the scene and I was just there supporting it. It was,
it was like a Harry Potter scarf on steroids.
It was really funny, but I have to find the picture. So many amazing memories. We had so much fun on set. I mean, laughing off set, hanging out together, watching it and talking to you about it, Nicole, it brings up so many memories. I mean, what a time. and that we've really grown up together, especially fashion wise and everything else and exploring and experimenting. And it's just been awesome. And I'm so happy you came on to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. And you're like, would you do it? And I'm like, are you kidding me? Of course.
Yeah.
Well, and also congratulations on all your success and being a mommy to three.
Thanks, guys.
What?
I do have one thing I want to just say before I leave.
Yes.
You guys were talking about like funny stories of like people like from set. And Rachel, do you remember when Adam for Christmas gave me a lint roller?
No.
Because he used to get so annoyed with me.
He would get so annoyed. Like if you came at him with the lint roller.
Yeah.
Because
that was my job. I mean, I had a lot of other jobs, but my main job was they'd say like last look and I'd have to come in and just like quickly de-lint or take any little hairs or whatever. And he'd be like, you need to cool it with the lint roller. Okay. Like I'm fine. Just don't touch me with that lint roller.
Yeah. He would like make a game and a joke out of it. He'd be like,
He made it such a big deal with the lint roller. And so I got that for Christmas.
That is hilarious. That is a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
That's awesome. I wish I still had the note.
Not the lint roller, but the no.
No.
God. All right, Nicole. Well, I love you. All right. Thank you.
Love you, Nicole.
So love you guys.
So, Mindy, are you ready to hear some fan question voicemails?
Absolutely.
Well, let's listen.
Hi. I wanted to thank you for your contributions to TV when I was a kid. Growing up with you guys on the OC really brings back a lot of nostalgia for me, even as an adult. New and Misha Barton really got me through some really difficult times. So I want to say thank you to begin with. Second to that, the question that I would have for you guys is, what was the best part about being on the OC for you personally?
Wow. Well, thank you. I mean, for saying all that, that was a really nice message. For me, just the whole experience, it started everything for me in my career. And, you know, even personally, I feel like I grew up a lot on this show and I was surrounded by such amazing people, Mindy, obviously, and everyone else. And we were such a nice support group that really helped kind of the transition into adulthood for me and this new path. So for me, it's all about just the right people and being around the right people and looking up to people and learning from them and just being grateful for all of that.
Yeah. Thank you for your message. And that is so rewarding to hear that we could put a smile on people's faces during a time. And that's ultimately what we're here to do is entertain. And that's why we're doing this podcast because it's so beloved. For myself, it was the perfect job at the perfect time in my life. I've done a few series at that time. And I remember I've had to leave town or I traveled by that age. When I started the OC, I did so many things all over the world. And this particular one was 20 minutes from my home. So it was great to be able to go to work, come home to my daughter. And it was the first time that I got to do something that was comedy or dramedy. And I just grew so much and I learned to take risks and became a better actor. And I got to be, I go to work almost, it was fun to go to work and then I get to come home and play with a 3-year-old. Mm-hmm. And as you can tell from all of our conversations here on this podcast, we had a blast. Mm-hmm. I always had so much fun. I mean, there were times I had to go to work at 3 a.m. to do a wardrobe fitting or sit in traffic. And, admittedly, those aren't the best times, but nobody's perfect. But I have such fun memories because it was so well written and the character was so much fun. And I knew I was putting smiles on people's face. So that's rewarding. That's good. Yeah.
I've always wondered how Marissa and Summer remained friends after Summer just left her drunk and passed out in front of her house. It was always a weird thing to have happened and it was never addressed. And it was as if, nothing ever, that wasn't a horrible thing to do. So I have always wondered why the writers never chose to explore that, something that prevented them from staying friends.
So how did they stay friends when Summer just dumped her on her doorstep, wasted and passed out? I mean, that's a great question. I think that, they were teenagers and obviously Summer had probably had her fair share of drinks that night. And I can't say that when you're a teenager, you always make the most responsible decisions. But I think, it's like one of those things. They clearly grew up together, friends their whole life. It was a drunken teenage night. I don't recommend it. I don't support it as a mother now. Always be considerate and responsible with your friends. Something I would never do personally. But to be honest, Marissa probably never even knew it happened. Actually, she definitely didn't know what happened because she was already passed out. So I think that's really
the answer. She was probably already embarrassed and kind of,
you know. No, she was passed out. She didn't know what happened. Yeah. And then Ryan brings her into the pool house, right? In that scene?
But
so
anyway, I think...
So she didn't know what happened. So that's why they remained friends, because she had no recollection of it. That is the honest answer.
I think at that age, too, people do things, like you said, when they're drunk and, you know, that was last week. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm. So this was so fun going over this episode, Mindy.
So much fun.
I could talk about the outfits like every episode all day long, and I probably will to some extent.
Let's point them out. I mean, they're pretty epic. As we were talking, I started remembering some of the things in the later, episodes, but we have a lot of episodes to come up to talk
about.
We
do. So,
yeah.
But thanks everybody for listening. We are just having so much fun talking about all this. Follow, rate, and review. Welcome to the OC, bitches. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, if you like to watch us, check us out on YouTube. And
thank you all for listening and joining us. And we've got a lot more to come, a lot more to talk about.
Also, if you watch us, you can see some of the things we were talking about this episode. The Polaroids Nicole was sharing with us, really fun memories and throwbacks from the past. So definitely check us out on YouTube to see those.
Oh, and my outfit, my epic outfit.
Also, the striptease that happened to reveal the outfit, you can see on YouTube. So yeah, give us a little watch. It's pretty entertaining.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Close your eyes. It's time to discover what starting and growing your own business feels like. Whether your business is bedsheets or skincare, Shopify's with you every step of the way. Now, open your eyes. This is Possibility, powered by Shopify. Sign up for a free trial at shopify.com/podcast22. Shopify.com/podcast22.
Hi, everyone. It's Rabia Chaudhry.
And I'm Ellen Marsh.
And we have a new podcast called Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case. As you know, I am a very smart lawyer.
You are. You're so well-respected in the entire world. You know everything.
Thank you so much.
And as you know, I'm a famous Broadway star. Gorgeous. I sing like a nightingale.
Well, yes. At least that's what your mom says. Just kidding. This is Ellen Marsh.
And I'm Rabia.
But we are teaming up to bring you a show like you have never heard before.
True crime meets talk show. Nobody's done it. We're going to do it. We're going to do the impossible. And it's the two things that I love. Ellen, I think you'll like it too.
What? True crime and talking?
Yeah.
I'm there. Every other week, we will have a guest talking about whatever true crime case they are obsessed with. We have a list, everything from the Lacey Peterson murder.
Yeah, some of the most famous cases you've ever heard of, obviously, like JonBenet Ramsey, the West Memphis Three.
Chris Watts, Khalif Browder.
Elisa Lamb, Madeleine McCain.
Sandra Bland, the Springfield Three. The list goes on and on. But they are all cases that you know, and we are going to dive in deep with someone else and just talk about them.
No. We're going to solve the case, Ellen.
That's right. We're going to solve the case. So subscribe to Rabia and Ellen Solve the Case wherever you get your podcasts.